Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. I am so excited about today's guest, and I have to be very honest. I race out of a temporary job that I'm at to have lunch, and because Chloe dropped my iPhone in the toilet last week, I got a burner phone, and this burner phone does not seem to want to allow me to pull up Blog Talk Radio. So I'm racing back to our location and going to try to log in so that I can get Gerald unmuted so he can chat with us today because I'm so excited. He is an optimistic fellow. He has 20 reasons why you should not get divorced. And I'm sitting here going, well, I have 200 reasons why I should have, and I did. So I'm dying to get him on the horn to talk a little bit about, you know, his adventure, his story, what he's done, and how he's done it. To me, he's an inspiration, and that's why we're here at Living and Thriving. Today is the hump day, my favorite day of the week. We are going through typical New England weather where in one patch of the sky it's pouring rain, and another patch it's brightly, beautifully sunny. You know, New England just has this habit of not being able to make up its mind as to who and what it wants to do, which cracks me up. So always wear a sweatshirt whenever you come up here because layers is the way to survive up here. I've learned that over the years. This week we have so many incredible guests, and I also want to remind all y'all locals to definitely stop by the Unity Church in Dover, New Hampshire on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. because I will be there selling books and signing books and offering hugs and setting up time to, you know, sit and chat with each and every one of you and see how things are going and doing and, you know, just being a part of this beautiful, delicious community that I love and helps Living and Thriving grow. I would say I'd stick us on a commercial break, but there's not a commercial break to be had when I can't get onto the technical difficulties do happen, but since I started this temporary job, it's been happening more often because it's just very difficult to pull up the website on my phone. I'm about maybe a minute and a half away. And I have to remind you also, don't forget to go on to my blog. I'm found in various places, blogher.com, as well as rustymacdonald.com, blog. You'll also find me, I'm writing for an entrepreneur magazine out of Australia, which is really exciting. That's a new endeavor. And I'm looking at potentially adding my blog to the Huffington Post. Yes, I said it, the Huffington Post. We'll see how that goes. I should know, actually, by the beginning of next month if I will be in Chicken Soup for the Soul. That was an honor for that, and see what they do with it. I don't know. All these doors are opening up, and I cannot be more grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In a moment, I will be opening up my door, and you're going to hear my precious little Bella. She's going to be barking her little head off. Oh, my God, company. So hold on. We're almost there. Isn't this an adventure? Life is always an adventure. I'm almost there. Gerald, please forgive me. I'm going to have to offer you another show so that we can make up for the time because this is a very short show as is. All right. The technology is not as good as we had hoped. Well, Bella, she's dying over here. I actually think it's Blog Talk itself because I'm even having a hard time on here. Uh-oh.
Hi, Bella.
All right, well, Gerald, it does not look like I'm going to be able to see you. I'm going to try one more method. All right. For the love of pizza and ice cream, Lord. Gerald, are you there, my friend?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Lord, I feel like I'm running in a hot frying pan with Vaseline slippers today.
No, it's fantastic. It's like the reality show. Like it's just all. This is real life, and this is what's beautiful about it, you know, the perfect
Absolutely.
Mess of imperfection that it is.
Well, I am very much a person who I walk the walk. I'm like everybody else. I've got my things, and I love being able to share those moments, even though
yeah.
from the audience, sometimes it's really annoying because they're like, you only have 22 minutes. Come on. So in saying that, we only
it's
have 20
good.
20 minutes now. So, Gerald, who are you and what do you do?
I just love this. So who am I? And just to like, keep it real, so here I am. I'm sitting in my car right now. I just finished a meeting, so I'm sitting in my car. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah, beautiful sunny day. I'm looking at these gorgeous snow-peaked mountains, and I'm just in love with my life and the fact that I get to connect with you, you know? I mean, this is the first time we get to talk and just
I
get
know,
to think of,
really
you know, the people listening.
About it.
And you know, my passion is just really empowering people to live an inspired life. I mean, that's really what juices me up. That's what lights me up. And I would say that first and foremost, I'm a student of life, actively learning from all the ups and downs, the highs and the lows and everything else that life provides. And I just love it all. I love the journey of life. And I love being able to share with people the things I discover in my journey, my oh so imperfect and messy journey sometimes. And I think that's my ultimate message that I have is it doesn't need to be what we think it should look like in order for it to be perfect. So I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Well, and what I love about it is you're living life just like everybody else. There's over 300,000 people that listen to the show on an international level. And it's awe-inspiring to me because it's spread like a smile across the globe. Ooh, goosebumps. Truth bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I find most delicious about people is as much as we try to have this perfect idea and this perfect schedule and perfect life and all of this nonsense, we ourselves are a walking dichotomy. We ourselves are walking hypocrites. We're not perfect. How can we manufacture this life of perfection? So you sitting in your car indulging in today is beautiful and delicious, and I thank you for sharing that. You also are an incredible soul. I don't know if you heard me in the beginning, but 200 reasons why divorce is the best thing for me. You have 20 reasons why divorce shouldn't happen, and you've received lots of accolades about that. So talk to us a little bit about your book and what the you know. Give us the top five of the reasons why you shouldn't get divorced.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and it's an interesting journey. I think relationships are the greatest catalyst for personal growth in the world, right? And any relationship is going to stretch us and expand us and push us and you know, tear us apart and put us back together. Like, we learn so much in relationships. And we tend to attract the person in a relationship that is the person that's most qualified to trigger all of our deepest childhood wounds so that we heal
yeah,
them.
We do.
You know? And so I don't know anyone that's been, like, in a relationship for more than 2 months or 6 months that doesn't have reasons to be out of the relationship. I mean, let's face it, it's hard. Like, it's hard to bring two lives together. And, you know, the statistics say that somewhere between 50 and 60% of marriages end in divorce. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I'm surprised that it's that low, you know, because there's so many factors that come together when two lives collide in the form of marriage, and you have different backgrounds and different religious ideas, and you have different philosophies about life. You have different preferences around money and sex and different styles of communication. You have all of these different components, you know, of the masculine and feminine being drawn together, and in an unconscious relationship, it's a recipe for chaos. And sadly, right. Most of us live in a space of unconsciousness where we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, I don't know what your relationship was like, Rusty, but for me, I was married for 16 years, and during those 16 years, there was a lot of ups and downs, you know, a lot of reasons to give up on it early. But at the same time, it was exactly what I needed to help shape me to be the type of man that I needed to be. But most of the time, I was a idiot, you know. I was so unconscious, and I didn't know how to meet her love needs, and I didn't know how to communicate effectively, and I had all my wounds and all my fears that would show up in a way that I would, you know, withdraw when she would get angry or upset, or I would disconnect when I felt like, you know, I couldn't be vulnerable, and so I had all these patterns that just showed up that ended up, you know, creating a lot of, you know, chaos and dysfunction in the relationship. Can you relate to that?
I had, ironically, my relationship was almost 17 years. And the last five was just going through the motions. I had disconnected when I got pregnant. It was very much a toxic, painful relationship. There was, you know, it was one of those relationships where nothing I did was right. And I was constantly in this self-perpetuated feeling of failure. And I had to make a tough choice. And, you know, there's this concept, school of thought that you stay together forever no matter what, especially if you have children. And that relationship is now permanently bound by this, you know, two-legged friend. I realized that our relationship was so toxic that by staying together, we would actually hurt her more because she wouldn't know what other kinds of relationships there were in the world.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So and so for the last 4 years, I've grown living and thriving. I've grown this radio show. I've 9 books in. And I've been able to just really open up and explore and be who I knew I always could be, but I wasn't allowed to be in that relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think that a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people feel suffocated in a relationship or feel like they can't fully express themselves. And there's so many people that get lost within the relationship where they lose their own identity. And so it's impossible for them to show up in a full and authentic way because they don't even know who they are anymore because of that. And, you know, I don't live under the illusion that that says all people should stay married. You know, I believe that divorce happens for a reason. Sometimes it's the best possible solution for everyone involved. But I also believe that if someone wants to choose to stay married, that there's ways to create a healthy, thriving relationship, and especially if both people are conscious and engaged and wanting to improve it, saving a marriage is easy. If one person is interested in saving the marriage and is willing to be the conscious one, then saving a marriage is possible. If both people are committed to being unconscious and being victims in the relationship, then it becomes impossible for that relationship to survive. And I noticed for me, I look at the journey that led, you know, to our divorce and what divorce opened up for me. Divorce was probably one of the greatest catalysts for my awakening and my personal growth in my life. And it opened up doors and opportunities where I know it was part of my soul path, part of what I needed to go through in terms of my, you know, curriculum here on earth. And so I'm deeply grateful for it, even though it was like the most painful time of my life. And it taught me a lot, and it helped me realize as I was going excruciatingly hard, because it really is like the death of, like, you know, people say divorce is like experiencing a death, because it is. It's like the death of your identity, death of your future, death of all of this relationship and everything you dreamed of. And I remember when I was going through that, it was like, I was like, for a month, I was like curled up in the fetal position. Like I was so completely like worthless, just because it hurt so bad. And, and I couldn't sleep. I lost 25 pounds, and it was like really hard. But somehow in that gift of the pain, and I think we can all relate to this, like it's in those moments of deepest pain and darkness and fear that we discover who we really are. And for me, I realized that there's no power in being the victim. There's no power in me pointing the finger and believing it was her fault. And even though I could think of all these things that she did, there were things that I did that were wrong, that violated. And all my power came from looking at my role in the relationship and what I could have done better. And so over the course of that time, I really got to do some deep analysis and look at all my broken patterns and really started studying and researching and figuring out about relationships. And so when I finally got divorced, the day after my divorce, I just sat down and was like, okay, well, what's the advice I wish I would have had? And that's what ended up being the catalyst for a blog post I wrote, which is like, okay, here's the advice I wish I would have had. Like, imagining I was speaking to Gerald 5 years ago. And when I shared it the next day on Facebook, I had no idea what was about to happen. By the end of the first day, it had been shared 1,000 times. By the end of the next day, 7,000 times. By the end of the first week, 70,000 times. And it went on to be shared tens of millions of times around the world. I ended up being invited to be on the Today Show and all of these other things, and ultimately wrote the book, The Marriage Advice I Wish I Would Have Had, which you can find on themarriageadvicebook.com. But it was this unexpected phenomenon where all of a sudden all of these people were looking to me for relationship advice. And I'm like, whoa, I'm the divorce guy. Like, why are you looking to me for advice? But in the end, I realized that I learned some really valuable stuff. And if I could share that with people that wanted to live an inspired life and create epic relationships, then it was my responsibility to share that. And so somehow my mess had become my message.
Well, and I think that, you know, I always use the analogy because I grew up in Florida and my birth mother worked in the field with a lot of the immigrants. She would do a lot of the squash and lemons and things like that. And this is way before, because I'm old enough to say this, which I don't know is a good thing, but this is way before the automated farming process. And so you watch them burn the fields, you watch them plant the seeds, you watch the seeds grow. Then you watch the pickers pick and pack for a wooden nickel for each bushel. And I think that's how I got through a lot of my life, was realizing that everything that I did and everything that I've gone through is me burning my field so that I can grow a new crop, a new harp. So when I realized that was part of life, it really opened up a lot of wonderful opportunities. Do you think that, in hindsight, that this was really a delicious opportunity for you to really be expansive universally?
Yeah, you know, I definitely see the gifts. And honestly, like, my life right now, where it was a year and a half, 2 years ago, like, I love my life. And there's so many people that have come into my life, and so many lessons I've learned, and so many ways that I've been expanded as an individual that I don't think could have happened where I was at, you know, 2 years ago before this all happened. So I definitely see how it was, you know, one of the greatest gifts that I ever experienced. And I think that is one of the gifts of relationships, is they do stretch us and they do help us refine in a way that is so unique and so powerful. And I really believe that we have contracts, you know, like we have these sacred contracts with people that come into our life. And they come into our life to teach us a certain thing or to support us in a certain aspect of our growth. And when we're conscious and allow ourselves to learn, then our growth becomes exponential. The challenge I see a lot of people experience is they they're unconscious, and so they break up with a one relationship because it's toxic or it's painful, and then they jump straight into another relationship and create the exact same relationship with a new person because they don't realize that they're the one that's creating the relationship, right?
Well, and I absolutely agree, and that's one of the reasons why the last 3 years since my divorce, I have really steered clear from the relationship in the romantic sense, just because I want to break any patterns. I want to make sure that I'm as authentic and real and 100% me as I want to be able to give, because it's a give take. And that was the largest lesson I learned in my last relationship, was that I was just a giver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How long was it for you once you wiped your knees up and started, you know, realizing that this might be a good thing?
You know, what was interesting is even through the process, even through the deep moments of pain, I felt my connection to God really be opened up in a way that I really knew that everything was happening for a reason. And I feel like I've always lived with the perspective that says, life happens for a reason. We experience what we need to. And I've tried to live from the space of being what I call a conscious creator, which is someone that's intentional about life and really understands that the results of my life are my responsibility. And if something's happening in my life I don't like, then I get to really take analysis and say, how did I create this? So even as I was going through that process, I really had this sometimes overly optimistic viewpoint that says, okay, all of this is happening for a reason, and this is just God's way of upgrading my life. And even in the midst of the pain, like that idea, that thought supported me in being open to learn, but also really seeking to be conscious about, okay, well, what do I want to create from this moving forward? Obviously during that period, like I thought that there would be a way to save the marriage. And it didn't work out the way that I expected, but it worked out exactly the way that it needed to.
So as we wrap up, because we got about 8 minutes left, what 5 tips would you offer to, you know, at least give your marriage a true shot?
Yeah. So let me go over these real quick. I think one is, number one, take a full accountability for your part in the marriage, to realize that it's your relationship, and marriage isn't about 50-50. Divorce is 50-50. Divorce is splitting everything that you have. Marriage is about giving everything you got. Like, marriage is about 100-100, like both people playing full out and contributing and being willing to give without expectations is huge. To be willing
right.
to say, hey, I'm fully invested, and it's not dependent. It's not a codependent relationship where I need you to show up in a certain way in order for me to show up at 100%. I'm willing to play full out. And I think that's super important to take accountability, to say, if I'm not happy with something in the relationship, then I need to do my work to heal that, right? Because so much of the pain that people experience in a relationship is this frustration because they have expectations that the other person needs to show up different than they are in order for them to be happy. Being a conscious creator says, hey, I realize that no one can make me happy, no one can make me sad, no one can make me angry, no one can make me frustrated. I'm responsible for my own emotion. And
yeah.
when we take that level of accountability, then it puts us back in the driver's seat of our own mind, which is huge. Once we're in that accountability, it says, okay, if just imagine that our marriage, our relationship is like this plant, right? Like it's a garden. And when we plant that right seed and we nurture that seed and we take care of that seed, that seed can grow and become to the point where it's got fruit. But so often in relationships, people neglect the relationship and stop nurturing it and stop caring for it. And so naturally, if you stop watering a plant, what's going to happen to it? Of course, it's going to wither and die. So here's a principle that I write in the book that I think is really prevalent to this idea of keep nurturing the garden. And it says this: never stop courting. Never stop dating. Never, ever take that woman for granted. When you asked her to marry you, you promised to be the man who would own her heart and fiercely protect it. This is the most important sacred treasure you will ever be entrusted with. Remember, she chose you. never forget that and never get lazy in your love. And when people
from personal experience, as well as a life coach and working with many, many people all over the world, we get incredibly lazy with our relationship. And it's not just a male thing. I want to make that very clear. I want to preface the fact that it's not just the guys. Women do too. We have to court each other. We have to be spontaneous. We have to constantly remind each other what our playful friendship was. And when we stop doing that, I think that's where we see the deterioration of the relationship, because you start seeking that excitement and that nurturing outside.
Yeah, and it's so easy for an affair to happen or something else to happen where all of a sudden your spouse isn't meeting those needs, so you look for them otherwise, other places. So it's so important. Here's another thing that I write in my book. It says, fall in love over and over and over again. You will constantly change. You're not the same people you were when you got married, and in 5 years you will not be the same people you are today. Change will come, and you need to re-choose each other every day. It doesn't have to stay with you. And if you don't take care of her heart, she may give that heart to someone else or seal you out completely so that you may never be able to get it back. Always fight for her love just as you did when you were courting her. And I think if we really maintain that concept, okay, I'm going to keep dating, I'm going to keep nurturing this, I'm going to keep looking for ways to fill my spouse with love every day. If we really lived with that intention to make that person feel like, they're the queen of my life, or, that he's your king, then why on earth would they ever want to go anywhere else to get their needs met? Because we're providing that for them. But it requires this deliberate effort to really focus on feeding the relationship and nurturing it. And let's face it, I mean, sometimes relationships are hard, and sometimes the other person will disappoint you, and sometimes it's easy to start looking at the faults. But what we focus on expands. Here's another principle from the book. Always see the best in her. Focus only on what you love. What you focus on will expand. If you focus on what bugs you, all you will see are reasons to be bugged. If you focus on what you love, you can't help but be consumed by love. Focus to the point where you can no longer see anything but love, and you will know without a doubt that you are the luckiest man on earth to have this woman as your wife. And I think that's such a core thing, is like when we focus on gratitude and appreciation and we focus on what's right, then we get more of what's right. But when we focus on all the reasons why we're disappointed and we get into complaining or criticizing or nagging or, all of those patterns, then all of our attention begins to go wrong.
We're running down to about 60 seconds. I apologize, Gerald. We've got about 60 seconds. So make sure that you give your website out one more time.
Yeah, so go to themarriageadvicebook.com. Once again, themarriageadvicebook.com. And, I just encourage you, get that book, because it will change your relationship. I get messages all the time from people saying how it saved their marriage. And so just get that, because it will inspire you.
So, Gerald, I am just in adoration of you. Thank you so much. And I invite you to email me and let's do this one more time, hopefully on a Sunday night if you have an opportunity where I don't have to juggle technology. Because I want to continue this conversation. I think it's very important, and I think the way you share it is opening up a lot more ears than other people do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for letting me play with you today.
Yay! All right, much adoration, and let's circle around and do this again. And folks, you heard it here. There is hope. You just need to open your eyes. You have a partner. Love the partner, nourish the partner, cherish each other, and, keep it spicy. I'm just saying keep attention to each other and the main goal of loving each other. Until Sunday night, know that I love you. Know that this path is made possible by you, and I'm so glad to walk along it and have these incredible people from all over the world share their love, their healing, their inspiration, and their advice. Until Sunday night, know that the best contagion in the world is a smile.
So go share it.